listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
What up, what up, what up, Canes fans? It is the Forza Podcast. It is Tuesday, September 15th, and once again, it is game week. We're in the thick of things. It's happening. It's football season. It's your boy, Marsh, and as always, I am joined by my wonderful producer and co-host, Jordan Nelson. Jordan, it's been an interesting few days on the old Twitter timeline as we get ready for the bill. How are you doing?
Oh, dude, I am just getting, wow. People do not like my negativity.
That's why I love you, because that's why I love this podcast too, because, and several people have told this to me, they appreciate the honesty, and they appreciate that we're not that delusional, we're not those, your typical delusional Canes fans. I mean, yeah. We can spot a spade, you know?
Yeah.
or whatever the saying is.
Yeah. I get, you know, people saying like it's only week one, like let's give the guys some breathing room, and that's fine. Like, I'm not trying to write this season in stone as a failure, but what I am trying to do is identify the places that we need to get better. Yeah. You know, because like I predicted us to go 9-2. I want us to go 9-2, but that doesn't, you know, so when we play football that's not 9-2 material, like, I'm going to say, hey, that's not 9-2 football.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm invested in us going 9-2 now. I want it. Like, that's my expectation. And so, you know, if we're playing a school like UAB and I feel like that's more, you know, we're playing like 6-5 or 7-4 football, then I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt like we were playing 7-4 ball at best against UAB.
There are definitely times, especially in the first quarter, you know, we looked kind of sloppy. But let me also ask you this. In 2017, our first game was against Bethune-Cookman, and yep. I think we won like 38-13. I know this true. 3 years ago. Were you feeling kind of similar to after that game?
Yes, I was. And you know, like I said, I'm not trying to write this season in stone. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to also point at bright spots, because like the type of stuff De'Eriq King was doing with his legs was just unbelievable. You know, like it's the type of stuff that Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson do. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that De'Eriq King is as good as those guys, because I don't think, you know, like De'Eriq King will have to make some moves to be a Heisman contender. But he like does that kind of crazy stuff on the ground that you just don't see. And I'm not too worried about his deep ball. I'm not too worried about his arm. You know, like I think it should be noted that it needs to get better. I'm not stressing about it.
It was pretty amazing, because I went back and rewatched the game on Friday, and it was pretty amazing the plays that he was making with his feet. Yeah. I think I spotted three third downs that he converted just by scrambling.
Yeah.
That is just something that we have not had at Miami with our quarterbacks. I mean, when it's 3rd and 7 and King avoids two defensive linemen and runs for a first down, it's amazing that we have that kind of threat at quarterback. And that's something that we were talking about all offseason. Is that this is the reason why the offensive line is going to look better, because last year that we would have been sacked 5-6 times maybe in that game.
And if you want to know a little secret, I think that's exactly why the offensive line looked better. I wouldn't say like, I don't know. I wouldn't say the offensive line looked demonstrably better, like pound for pound. I think the scheme helped. I think De'Eriq King helped a lot, because there should have been 5 or 6 sacks in that game.
It was crazy just to see him avoid. I mean, to go back and look at those plays and think like they were dead in the water, and King somehow scrambled and took off for first down. It was going back and looking at it. It was crazy.
Oh, that one where he did like the half spin. And then bumped into a guy and then did the half spin back out and ran up the middle, then, you know, went towards the right sideline for like a 20-something yard gain. just mind-blowing. Like, I've been showing everybody that I know that my, highlight clip, and everyone is just like, oh, wow. Yeah. I'm like, that's my dude, you know? Yeah.
That's my cool. That's my quarterback.
Yep. So, okay. I'm very excited.
Yeah. I mean, Saturday is going to be a very, very tough game, and it got a little bit tougher earlier today. Some sad news to report. Christian Williams, the cornerback, redshirt freshman cornerback, has entered his name into the transfer portal. And so our weakest position group has just gotten a little bit weaker.
Yeah. Well, before we jump into this, can I just share a message from our friends at the Tank Brewing? I want to do that before we get too far into this.
Go ahead.
Okay, so this is from the Tank Brewing Company. At the Tank Brewing Company, we're passionate about brewing the highest quality craft beer using only the best ingredients and brewing techniques in a process we call liquid innovation. If you're looking for the place to cheer on the Canes this season and enjoy exceptional craft beer, look no further than the Tank. The big screens in our 6,500 square foot tasting room were made to watch your team dominate and can be viewed just as well from our outside area. With 16 taps in the brewery, we guarantee you'll find the craft beer you've been craving. Hungry? We make some delicious bites that perfectly complement what you're sipping on. Mention that you heard about the Tank here on the Fours Up podcast, and you just might receive a token of our appreciation. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Tank Brewing for the latest news about our exceptional brews. We are proudly located in the heart of Miami at 5100 Northwest 72nd Avenue. Whether it's game day or any other day, we're always brewing up something delicious at The Tank. Well, dude, we're both excited to be working with The Tank, right? It's pretty cool. Yeah.
I mean, The Tank, like, I was there about a month and a half ago when I was down in Miami. Awesome place. I mean, you could tell that you could have a hell of a watch party at The Tank and well, great beer, too. So go check them out on social media. Go give them the follow and say that you heard about them on the Fours Up. So,
Yeah. Definitely let them know that you're there, you know, that you heard us mention them. That would help both parties out. And they got that cigar lounge there, too, that I've heard that some pretty famous former Canes dropped by that cigar lounge.
Yeah, I mean, I think the day before I was there, you had Reggie Wayne and Ed Reed stop by there. So really, really cool place if you want to just go pop a stogie or go get a stogie. you know, when I move back, I'll definitely be a frequent visitor at the Tank. So very excited to be working with them just great people. So,
And then also before we move on, just a quick shout out to our guy Stickers by AB. You know, his Twitter handle at Stickers with a Z, STICKERZ by AB. That's, you know, he's helping us out with a lot of our graphic designing stuff for t-shirts and merch, and, definitely check him out, man. His designs are dope. I got a package the other day. I've been putting my stickers everywhere. So there's pretty cool stuff. Check out his website. And, you know, he has actually a really cool hashtag called Stick and Rep. So I like that.
Yeah. AB's the best, man. Go give our boy a follow. Go get your stickers so that you can deck out your car in Canes gear and let it be known. Shout it from the rooftop.
Well, and I don't know if I'm supposed to announce this yet. I'll hit up AB and see if it's cool. But that's actually our first piece of merch that we'll probably drop is an AB store. Mm-hmm. And it's a it's a sticker that's a collaboration between us and his company, Stickers by AB, that says Drip on it. And it's really cool, man. It's really cool. Yeah. We'll have a matching t-shirt that comes out with it. But in the meantime, make sure you go to AB's store, buy all of this stuff because it's amazing, and check out that Drip sticker, man.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways.
Yeah, working with a few great people, but very excited. So, yeah, Christian Williams is gone. I did not expect this early on in the season, but
The people are out. They are talking. Opinions are being shared. What are your thoughts, Jordan? Because this is I had Williams as a guy who I thought was going to break out and, you know, have more of a cemented role on the Canes defense. So to me, it sucks. So, yeah, go ahead.
That's kind of what we were being told in camp, though, was that he was going to break out. But I don't know, man. Like, first of all, there's a few different ways to cut this. But the first thing is, like, I wonder why he chose to do this. Because it's a free season of no eligibility. You know, so he has to burn a red shirt. And, like, why? You know? Like, he should have played this season and then burned his red shirt next year if he has it. He didn't redshirt last season, right?
He did redshirt last year.
Oh, he did? He did?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah, so why burn the free year of eligibility, you know? Like, he should have played this year. He still would have been a redshirt freshman then, and then he could burn the he could burn the transfer year next season. Just doesn't make sense, man. So from that perspective, it's a big time head scratcher. I have to say, like, I mean, we got the news though that he wasn't competing for that starting spot. It was Couch and Ivy. And considering that Ivy really, really struggled, is how I'll put it. He really struggled in week one. Like, you have to, I don't know, you have to wonder, man, if Christian Williams couldn't get in the battle for that starting spot after how Ivy performed.
You wonder why, just because of the reasons that you just said. I mean, it's kind of a free year. So, I mean, and he's going to get playing time regardless, whether you're starting or not. You're going to see playing time as a cornerback this year for the Canes.
Yeah.
And it just sucks, man, because we really don't – I mean – you got Al Blades, you got Ivy, you got Couch. And I know you have some younger guys below them, but you're not – you don't want to be in the position where you have to play those true freshmen. Not because they're making, like, a crazy impact or a good impact, but it's almost that they're forced to be in the rotation. And so
– yeah, and
– it sucks, and it just sucks.
It does suck. And you know, not to toot my own horn here, but how many times this offseason did I mention the amount of bodies that we had at corner? And people, you know, would be like, well, you know, we only play two at a time in the Cane system. And I'm like, yeah, but we only have three dudes that have ever played. And, like, there's some question marks in those three dudes, you know?
Yeah.
And, jeez, man, I'm just, like, we don't even have the roster spots that we need for this cornerback position. What happens if one goes down? What if we miss a game? Are we really going to start Marcus Clark on, like, a number one wide receiver? You know what I mean?
I get that he's good and has a lot of potential, but that's not the kind of position that you want to be in with him being a true freshman. A lot of people are saying, oh, we got Marcus Clark, he's going to be a baller. I'm like, okay. I doubt 2020 is going to be that season, though.
Yeah, and that's what I meant. I'm not trying to throw shade at Marcus Clark as a player.
Yeah, of course not.
But what I'm saying, you know, so do you really want a true freshman, you know, going up like a Power 5 starting wide receiver? Because that's the position that we're in now, is, like, we're going to – like, Dunson's going to get a lot of playing time now. And we're going to have a true freshman corner playing against a legitimate Power 5 wide receiver. And, I mean, think about it, dude. When we go up against a team like North Carolina, if we have any injury attrition at cornerback, we could be in big trouble. They have a lot of good wide receivers at North Carolina.
Well, and at Louisville, man.
Yes.
I think Louisville has a crazy explosive offense. And so
– yeah.
It
– I'm just – yeah. And that's kind of my overall – what was that?
I'm worried for this game. I'm not going to lie.
I am too. I mean, I've kind of gone back and forth. I initially predicted a win and you predicted a loss. And then last podcast, we flip-flopped and I predicted a loss and you predicted a win. And I'm still waffling. You know,
it's a toss-up in my opinion, man.
I agree. It just depends on how we perform. I think we should win. I think we're the more talented team. But, dude, we have, like, it's a bad matchup for us because our question marks are the things that they will easily be able to exploit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm worried about the middle of our defense. Like, I know people have raised their eyebrows when I say this. I just, did you think it looked soft at all in the first half of the UAB game?
At times, yeah. I mean, obviously, yeah. Obviously you have to look at the overall work. But in the first half, yeah, I think there were times where it looked sloppy. I mean, that touchdown pass to Ivy, I don't know what the hell happened there.
Well, they moved the ball pretty decent on us when Tyler Johnson was in. We clamped down in the second half, but in the first half they moved the ball pretty well. You know, and I don't know, man. Like.
Can't have those you can't have that against Louisville, and obviously the fumble punt.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, like, if we don't fumble that punt, UAB could very well could have been held to under 10 points, and so
yeah.
I think overall the defense was fine, but there were some moments where you could see the you know, the weakness.
And I get that, you know, because the stats, like, we did hold them under 80 yards rushing or something like that. We held them to, like, what was it, right around 200 yards passing, maybe a little more.
Yeah, so we allowed 285 yards of offense, which, I mean, if in this day of age, if you can hold your opponent to under 300 yards of offense, you're doing something right.
Yeah, and here's kind of my, like, the reason why I have some worries, because I'm trying to extrapolate that performance out to the better teams that will play. I know people are saying that UAB – you know, should be solid, but, like, they didn't look solid. They didn't look solid against Central Arkansas, and they didn't look solid against us, in my opinion. I thought that Lucero kid was really bad.
Yeah, he did not look very good.
And, like, I thought Johnston was just, like, okay, you know, but Johnston moved the ball pretty well against us. Lucero struggled. I don't get why they played Lucero at all, really. I mean, he's probably the worst quarterback we'll play this season.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. I'm just thinking, like, dude, if we're as soft as we were in the first half against Johnston, like, Louisville's going to exploit that, you know? And so I'm thinking, like, we play that same first half against Louisville. Instead of it being a 14-17 game, we could be down 28-14 or 28-17.
God, you're depressing the hell out of me.
Yeah, well, and I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to say that we suck and that everything sucks and whatever. I'm just saying, if you really think about it, like, we didn't play an explosive offense. And like, we were shaky in the first half, and I don't want to get down to Louisville on the road in a conference game. Especially because it's like, I would call it a quasi-rivalry. You know, there's history between Miami and Louisville.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. That's my worry. Is I worry that, like, the first half we could shoot ourselves in the foot bad enough that we can't rescue ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll go over this a little more on Thursday when we get into the Louisville preview. But for right now, let's get into some of these mailbag questions. First one that I am going to bring up, it's from Grim1216, he asked, what's the point total you each have in mind that Miami needs to reach in order to win this game?
Okay. Do you want to go first or should I go first?
I'll let you go first.
I'm thinking mid-30s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think I don't want to give it an exact number, but I'm thinking in the 34-35 range.
Yeah, I'm somewhere in the, you know, I'm like 31, 35 points. Yeah. I think if you can go up there, score, you know, 31, 35 points on the road, I'm pretty confident that you could come out with a win unless our pass coverage is really being just exploited and things like that. But if we can score 31 to 35 points, which I think is very doable, Miami should come out there with a win.
Yeah, and you know, like, If we score 35 and lose, I'm gonna be honest, I won't be totally shocked. But I think that's where we need to be for it to be a close game. I would love to see our defense clamp down on Louisville. I'm not ultra confident in that because we have some kinks to work out. We really struggle on the outsides. You know, like Zach McLeod didn't turn in a super solid performance. Jordan Miller didn't turn in a super solid performance. And I thought Jennings and Nesta were just kind of spotty. Like, maybe spotty's not the right word. I feel like they were like decent to good, and then flashed really good plays on occasion. But I didn't see a consistency. Like, there wasn't a consistent high level of play for Jennings and Nesta against UAB, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And so I'm worried that Louisville is going to exploit that. You know, like we really don't. Well, we probably won't have time to like get into rhythm and work out the kinks. Like I'm worried that, you know, Tutu could take a screen 80 yards or, you know, a slant route 80 yards.
Good last year, man.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, that's what we're going up against. So if it's like – if it's the middle of the third quarter before we really dig in and, like, have our defense settled, it might be too late. That's my worry.
Yeah. Yeah, getting down early and having to claw our way back and at the same time stopping their offense enough to give us a shot. Yeah, that's a hell scenario. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. You're scaring me, man. But you know what? That's the nature of the game.
Am I talking crazy though?
No, you're not talking crazy. I think a lot of people don't want to realize that, you know, Louisville does have a solid offense and they're thinking that we're going to go in there and just win easily. And I just don't see that happening.
And you know, I hope we do. I really do. It's not like It's not like I'm cheering for us to lose, but dude, I mean, I tweeted earlier. It feels like the Canes are like 3-46 in prime time in the last 15 years.
We got prime time this week. We got Fowler and Herbstree, baby.
Oh, I'm so excited to have Herbstree.
They're my favorite. I love them.
They were great. And they did a great job calling Monday Night Football too.
Yeah, they really did. They're tremendous. They're great. Okay, so the next question is from Cosmo251. He asked, oh, and you're going to like this one. Should Sam Brooks play more than Zach McLeod this game? And he says, we need more speed. Let you go first.
I don't know. You know, I don't know. Because, I mean, Zach McLeod didn't pop. Sam Brooks didn't really pop either for me.
Yeah.
And so I don't like, I will say whoever plays middle linebacker for us needs to play better than Zach McLeod did in week one.
So Jennings is that middle linebacker.
Okay. But yeah. So whoever's playing that outside linebacker spot, they need to play better than McLeod did in week one.
Yeah.
And so
McLeod, I mean, after looking at the film, McLeod looked slow.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, so whether it's him turning in a better performance or we go to Brooks, you know, to add more speed, it doesn't matter to me. I just think we need to solidify our linebacking core in terms of performance, not talent.
Yeah.
Most of my worries last week were with performance over talent. I am a little worried with our cornerbacks when it comes to talent. As it stands, I think these guys can get better, but as it stands, like I'm panicking. I'm staying up at night, just picturing balls going over their heads and landing in.
I don't know if he needs to play over Zach McLeod. I just think Sam Brooks needs to play more.
Okay.
He looked after watching the film, Brooks, he looked, I mean, by far he has the most speed of any of the linebackers, just because watching some of the plays in the first half, I mean, missed tackles by the linebackers and just not getting there quick enough. And Louisville's going to, you know, they're going to test our sideline speed and, you know, do a lot of plays on the edge. You need a guy like Sam Brooks out there that can stop jet sweeps of Tutu Atwell, that can stop Javion Hawkins, their running back, when he gets to the edge. Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if he needs to play more than Zach McLeod, but overall, I would like to see Sam Brooks play more.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just need to see something better. I just need to see a better product. I don't care who it is. If Sam Brooks is the answer, I don't know. I'm not confident to say that he would be better than Zach McLeod. I just think we need something better.
Okay, so the next question is from Ethan, EA Sports 10314. He asks, how much better do you guys think Louisville actually is from last year? Like, I know a lot can change in an off season. Should we be worried about this Louisville game? Well, I think you already have the answer to that, to the last part of the question. But you know, Jordan and I, you know, we tend to worry a little bit more than the average fans. I mean, Gabby, he was on the show the other week and he noted that. He was like, Marsh, I know you like to worry. So
yeah,
it's a well-known fact that we worry, but I think that's fine.
Yeah. And here's the thing. So last year, Scott Satterfield, who is a highly decorated coach, been very, very, very successful in his career at Appalachian State. It was his first season. So, you know, and they were young last year. So I'm not really banking on the fact that we won big last year for a few reasons. You know, rookie head coach, young Louisville team. I mean, they're returning all their best players. So they were, you know, it's not like they were ultra experienced and we just beat them down. And then also Jaren was just locked in. We all know that Jaren was an incredible talent at quarterback. Maybe some missing pieces, you know, on the all around game, but he's an incredible physical talent as a quarterback.
Yeah.
And he was locked in, man. Like it was like a Klay Thompson 33 points in one quarter game. You know, like these guys are all high level athletes.
And you're not going to see that very often.
Yeah. And like when guys get locked in like that, you can't really stop them.
Yeah.
You know, like Jaren's good enough to have a game like that. You know, I'm going to relate it to basketball. You see guys get hot and it's just like everything they do is incredible. And people just have those games. And I think that was Jaren's, you know, he had a Klay Thompson game.
And I think a lot of people are going into this game thinking that we're going to see that performance. And I tell people, like, you're not going – that's not going to happen. Like,
yeah.
You don't see a 6-touchdown performance for the University of Miami. I mean, that was the first one.
Yeah, there's only one of them.
Exactly. You know? King isn't going to come out here and go 8-for-8 for 160 yards and 2 touchdowns in the first quarter like Jaren did last year. And so – I think something that helps Louisville is that a lot of their offense is back for this season. And so, I mean, Cunningham is back, Tutu's back, Hawkins is back. And so I don't know if they're a lot better from last year. I think they're just – they have experience together. Yeah. And I think that is going to help them tremendously this season. I think – I mean, there's not a – there's a reason why the national college football media is high on Louisville. It doesn't really – it doesn't surprise me that Canes fans don't think much of them just because that's how Canes fans operate. But
yeah.
They have a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball. And so
– they have a great coach.
Yeah, they have a very good coach. Yeah, I think they went like 8-5 last season.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, after a really – after they struggled the year before or 2 years before, I can't quite remember. But this is a solid program, and it's prime time. It's going to be a good game.
Yeah.
I think Miami either wins close or we lose big.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting that vibe too. Yeah, I don't know. My recommendation to fans is like, don't expect this to look like last year's Louisville game. Cause I mean, that was our biggest outlier of the whole season. I mean, honestly, like losing to FIU was less of an outlier than beating Louisville with how we played. And yeah. So like, you need to take that into consideration. You know, if you're charting our performance out on a graph, like our Louisville performance is the one that's way the hell out there and that doesn't fit with the rest of the group. So, I don't know. And they still scored 27 points on us, and they're coming back with more chemistry and cohesion and experience together. So,
yeah, 100%.
You know, I expect them to score more than 27. I understand that the flow of the game had something to do with that, and they were playing catch up. I expect them to be in the 30s. I think we'll need to be in the 30s to beat them.
Yeah, and I think that we're all on the same page as that. Yeah, we need our offense. Like, this is when we need the Rhett Lashley offense. Okay, so the next question, this is from Gnarly Charlie 12. He says, how many yards does King need to throw for Miami to win against Louisville?
You go first this time.
I don't think sorry, my back hurts. I keep having to move around. I can never get comfortable in this goddamn chair. the back of an 80-year-old man. I don't think there has to be there's not a number for this question. Like, I'm not going to come out and say, well, statistics prove that he must throw for 250. I don't think that's the case at all. I think that he can have a game where he throws for 150 and rushes for 100, and we can still win. So Derek King's a lot different from other quarterbacks, where he's going to do a little bit of both. I think he's going to have a game where he throws for 200, maybe 225, but he's going to have a game. I think he rushes, you know, for 90 to 100 against Louisville. Watching him run is a work of damn art, man.
Oh, it's incredible.
Is so fast in the open field. So I don't think that there's a specific number that fits this question. We just need King to get the ball into the end zone. I don't care if he's throwing it or running it. We just need points. And King can provide that in a couple different ways. So,
yeah. I'm with you. I actually had the same take geared up, ready to fire when you said that, in that I don't think De'Aaron King is that type of quarterback where he needs to have a number. For the sake of saying it, I will say I'll say 200 yards. But like, that's why it's so low. You know, yeah. I think if De'Aaron King throws for under 200 yards, we're probably going to struggle to put up 30 something points. I mean, we did against the UAB team, you know, but, you know, whatever, right? I just don't think in this game, you know, we'll probably have a difficult time putting up 30-something points, because they're going to be playing a fast tempo as well. So if De'Aaron King's not throwing for 200 yards, I will assume that there will be something wrong. The number's low for all the reasons that you said. He could easily run for 150 yards and we could be incredibly successful. So,
yeah. Yeah. I think that we're both on the same page as far as that question. Okay. This is from Jack Fitzgerald, our boy. He says, got some over unders for you boys. I don't even want to think about over under because I took a few hard losses this past weekend again, dude. This is beside the point, but man, I got to find a new hobby besides betting on sports, because my God, I think the only ones that I won was I bet Georgia Tech to cover, which they did against Florida State, and I bet the under for that game. So thanks FSU for sucking. You made me some money. But back to Jack's question, he said, got some over under for you boys. The first one, 2-2 Atwell, 100 receiving yards. Do you go over or under on that?
I would a very comfortable over.
Yeah, very I'm saying over. Okay.
That's a confidence bet for me. Yeah. Like,
I'm betting the mortgage on over on that one. Okay. The next one is Cam Harris, 100 rushing yards.
I think he'll be right around there, but I'm going to say under, just because I think we switch it up and I think we get Chaney and Knighton involved.
Okay.
I think Cam Harris will be in that like 80 to 110 yard rushing range. But I'm just going to say under, because I think Rooster and Don Chaney get a lot of play as well.
All right. I'm going over on this one. I think he's going to finish like 110, 115 yards. I really liked what I saw from Cam Harris last week. And
he's great.
I think I mean, we were on my couch last week watching the game where you said, you know, he could be Doak Walker candidate or something like that.
Yeah. Yep.
He's good, man.
Yeah, I think he'll have an incredible year. If anyone wins an award this year, I guess it could be Brevin.
I think it could be King, honestly.
Yeah.
King could win something. Okay. So two more from Jack. He says, D'Eriq King, 350 total yards and three total touchdowns, going over or under.
Oh, man. That's a risky bet, you know, having both. I'm going to go over.
On both?
Yeah. I'm going to – well, does it count if you tie, or can we set the line at 2.5 touchdowns instead of 3?
Ooh, you're a betting man. I like that. Yeah, let's do 2.5 touchdowns.
Okay, if we're going 350 yards and 2.5 touchdowns, give me the over on both. I'm excited for this game. D'Eriq King, dude.
I am I'm going to go under on 350 total yards, but I'm going to go over on 2.5 total touchdowns.
Okay.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. Okay, and the last one, Kane's defense forces 1.5 turnovers.
Oh, yikes.
I'm going the under on that one. I say we force one turnover.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go under on that as well.
Yeah,
I will say this, though.
It made me mad, or it upset me that we didn't force one turnover last week. I mean, Johnston he made some plays, but there were several times where we could have picked off a pass.
So I have a quick question. This is kind of off topic, but you did a deep dive into UAB before the game. How did they perform as to your expectations? Did they look – to me, they didn't look as good as I expected.
They were on par for what I expected. I thought that they were going to be able to run the ball in the first half, which they did. But in the second half, I said that the Canes defense would clamp down a little bit more, which they did. So honestly, everything was right as I thought, to be completely honest.
Okay. So. Well, and you're predicting 3 losses at least. So,
people need to give me my credit, man, because I've been right on a lot of these predictions.
Yeah.
No, need to respect Honest Marsh.
Honest Marsh, dude, being I don't know, people don't want you to be honest right now. They want you to be hyped.
Exactly. But I still am hyped. I really liked what I saw for the most part. Okay, let's do 2 more questions. So the first one is from Casey. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Nevajay. I don't know, but I like this one. He says, in your educated opinion, thank you for that. What's the likelihood that FSU is trying to use these lax COVID-19 policies to sabotage their season and avoid this ass whooping on the 26th? Hashtag conspiracy. Hashtag oh well.
That was great. That was a great question.
I love it. FSU. Woo! Oh, those bum ass Seminoles. They looked horrible. They looked awful. How do you freaking trot out this team? Oh, you suck. You suck, Mike Norvell. 16-13 at home. And they had like half that stadium filled.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell is going on in the minds of these people in Tallahassee, but good God. You really think James Blackman is the right guy? Oh, they suck.
Yeah, they do. They're really bad. And you know, like, they fooled me because I was watching that first quarter. And I was like, okay, they're moving the ball pretty well. Like, oh, dude, it just – the wheels came off hard.
And I love it. I love it, man. Like,
it was like, have you ever seen those Red Bull like tournaments where people build their own aircraft and then push it off of a high dive?
I have not.
That's kind of what it was like watching the Florida State team, because it was like it was a big, pretty man-made aircraft. And they're like rolling it down the thing. You're like, hey, maybe the, you know, it might glide or something. And then it just nose dived into the water.
Yeah, I mean, they looked rough.
It was bad.
They looked really, really rough. But yeah, maybe they are trying to sabotage. I don't know.
I learned a very important lesson not to give an analysis on a team in the first quarter of the opening game of the season.
Yeah, I think that's fair. We have the chance to beat them by like 20, 25 points next weekend.
Yeah,
I don't think it's going to happen because Florida State Miami is usually not a blowout, but
yeah,
they looked rough.
They did look rough. That was very bad.
They looked very bad. Okay, last question. What? And also, we have like 40 questions. So thank you, everyone, for you know, for sending in those questions. We can't get to them all today, but just want to thank everyone for doing this. Okay, this is from our boy Travis Bruce. He asked, if you could build an offense using players from the golden era to present to beat Clemson this year, who would be your quarterback, four wide receivers, two tight ends, two running backs, and starting O-line? Good Lord. All right. Are you ready?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me pull up this question so I can okay. Do you want me to go first or you?
We could do it just side by side. Take okay. each position. Okay. So let's start off with quarterback.
Do you want to go Brad Kaya or Stephen Morris? Because, like, I think Kaya is better, but Stephen Morris had, like, I feel like he had more firepower.
I'm going to say Brad Kaya just because Kaya played a lot better against these kind of teams. Yeah. I mean, you looked at Morris and he struggled against Florida State, but Kaya played really well against those really good Florida State teams. So I'm going to go with Brad Kaya as the quarterback.
Okay. I'm with you there. I mean, you know me, I love Brad. He was easily the best quarterback that we've had since Brock Berlin, maybe even better than Brock. Well, I don't know. I didn't watch enough Brock Berlin, honestly.
Okay, like in three games. He also had Taylor on defense.
Yeah. Well, I'll say that Brad Kaya was easily our best quarterback since Brock Berlin. You know, so I'm all aboard with Brad.
Okay. All right, two running backs.
Duke Johnson, easy.
Yeah.
And then did Lamar Miller, was he gone before no, Golden left?
He was there in Golden's first year. So I'm going Duke Johnson and Lamar Miller.
Okay, yeah, you have to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Who are you going to put? Yerby? Yerby? Like, come on. Okay,
Yerby. Yeah.
Four wide receivers. Oh, God, who is there? Okay, Philip Dorsett, Alan Hearns.
Is Travis Benjamin eligible?
I do not think Travis Benjamin was there.
Okay.
Who the hell was there?
I don't know. We really weren't that great at wide receiver.
We had good players that.
What about Leonard Hankerson? Did we have Hank?
Hankerson, I don't believe was there either.
What about Herb Waters? I'm a big Herb Waters.
Yeah, Herb Waters was there. So yeah, I'm gonna go Philip Dorsett. Alan
Hearns, Herb Waters. Shoot. We could go Braxton.
We could go Stacy Coley.
Oh, we should probably go Stacy, honestly.
Yeah, Stacy Coley. Okay, so yeah, Hearns, Coley, Herb Waters, Alan Hearns, Stacy Coley, and Philip Dorsett. It's not a bad set of receivers.
It's really not. Mm-mm. Dude, I'm so excited to put Clive Walford on this list.
I was just about to say, yeah, tight ends. Definitely one of them is Clive Walford. Who would be the other one?
David Njoku, does he count?
Yeah, he counts. He was there like 15 and 16. So yeah, I mean, yeah, you could say David Njoku. Yeah, Njoku would be fine. As far as offensive line, I have no idea.
Can I be
honest?
I mean, should we just say from 2013 to 2014, we had a really great line. Mm-hmm. I can't remember all the dudes on there, but it was like Eric Flowers, one of the McDermott brothers. Who's the dude that's playing guard at Jacksonville? pretty sure he was on that team.
Calais Campbell?
No.
This era I'm not as bright on, so.
Dude, honestly, like the more episodes we do, like the less knowledge that I retain, because like my brain can only hold so much. I can't think of it. He's a guard at Jacksonville. He signed a huge deal there. Brandon Linder. He was good. You know, John Feliciano, like those type of dudes. So, so I'm just going to say, you know, go to that 2013, 2014 team, pick five linemen. That's who I'm going with.
All right. I'll take it. And then one last piece of one last note before we sign off. Jakai Clark is
the starting
guard now over Usman Traore. So that did not last long.
Yep. Well, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't know. Like my position has long been like Jakai is just as good as many of those dudes. You know, I expected to see Jakai get a lot of playing time on our interior line. I actually thought it could be at center or at either guard spot. So this doesn't really surprise me that much.
I'm very excited to see Jakai out there. Jakai's our boy. Love Jakai. And he has experience from last year. So I think that'll also help. This Saturday, man, it feels like a big game.
Yeah,
is it not? I mean, we're ranked now. Hey, we're ranked.
It's a very big game. I mean, we're ranked lower than Louisville, so that should say everything, right? That's how big this game is. Is I don't know if we're a Vegas underdog. I'm sure some outlets have us as one.
We're favored.
I saw at least one does, but I think there's another betting outlet that has us as an underdog. But
I don't blame them.
Yeah. Either way, I mean, it's close because we were, what, a 1.5-point favorite?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So
I haven't put down my bet yet, but.
It's like borderline. You know what I mean? So this is a very big game. We're playing on the road. We're playing a team light years better than last week. And we struggled to find a rhythm last week. I think our margin for error is a lot smaller than last week's.
100%. I mean, we're on the road. It's emotions are going to be high, man. Like,
yeah,
it's a big game early on in the season.
I think
last week helped just getting the rhythm going on offense.
We
can't afford, you know, those stupid turnovers like we had with the fumbled punt, and we can't. Yeah. We just gotta hit the ground running, man. Like first possession, we need points.
Yeah, and well, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Okay, so Scott Satterfield, head coach of Louisville, last year was his first season, went 8-5, but from 2015, he coached five seasons at Appalachian State before that. In his last 4 years there, he went 11-2. 10-3, 9-4, 10-2.
He's not a bad coach.
He's not.
At all.
That's a quick question that I want to pose to you. Just purely from a head coaching standpoint, are you taking Manny Diaz or Scott Satterfield as a better coach right now? Because this is important. This is important.
I don't know if I can answer that question right now. Ask me at the end of the season, maybe. But, I mean, Scott Satterfield's he's a winner. And Manny Diaz, he's 7-7 as a head coach right now. So,
yeah,
I think it's a little too early to compare the two. But I mean, just off one season of work, I mean, you got to give the edge to Scott. That's not bashing Manny at all. That's just the facts of, you know, he's only been head coach for 1 year.
I'm with you, and this isn't crapping on Manny Diaz at all. But I'm just saying it plays into the idea of why this game is so important. Yeah. You know, they're going to have experience and cohesiveness. And, you know, like we both said, we both kind of agreed that like they probably have a coaching edge between Scott Satterfield and Manny Diaz. And they're at home. They're ranked higher. And they're coming to play, man. Like their Twitter account. Like, did you see their tweet today, the video they released?
Yeah, that was pretty sick.
Yeah, I feel like that was on purpose. You know, it was a lot of videos, including Howard Schnellenberger, and they stole our song, dude. It had In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins over the top of it. So, like, they're not messing around. You know, that was intentional, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, they know that it's a big one, man. And I know that rankings are a little skewed right now. But, I mean, it's two top 25 teams. It's Herbstreit and Fowler, so
yep.
It's a big one, man.
And what happened last time we went up to Louisville at night?
Was that Kaya's first start?
It was. It was true freshman Brad Kaya in the Papa John's Stadium or whatever.
Papa John's Stadium.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, man. I was so excited for that night. Dude,
I remember watching that game in St. George thinking,
yeah,
this is typical Miami. This is why, I mean, at that point in my life, I was like, I was talking to myself because I was so angry. I'm like, this is why I don't get myself excited.
Yep. That was a tough night because, like, you know, that was supposed to be the Ryan Williams year, which I was so excited for.
Ryan Williams.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I know. I wanted it to be the Ryan Williams year. However, I was a huge Kaya fan. And walking away from that game, as sad as it was, you know, I was like, dang, Brad is going to be very good here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of expected him to go higher in the draft, but he ended up being our all-time leading passer. So, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, it's whatever. But I'm just hoping for a better result this time in Papa John's Stadium at night.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good one. Okay, all right. Is there anything else we got to go over?
No. I mean, are you done with questions for today?
Yeah, I mean, I think we answered a good amount. Okay. Think we went over. We could also, depending on who our guest is on Thursday, we can maybe ask him a few of the remaining questions. We had a lot, man. Yeah. We must have had like 25 to 30. So, cool. And I got to go watch the Heat too. So,
oh yeah. Okay.
Game one, baby.
Quick. Give me let's talk Heat for just a second.
Oh God. Heat and six.
Heat and six. Okay. Yeah. I could be wrong on this because I just hate everything about the Boston Celtics, and I hate Gordon Hayward, and I hate Danny Ainge.
Yeah, hate him.
So, I mean, this is probably the series that I'll be the most biased on in all of the NBA playoffs, which I feel like I've done pretty good. I'm taking Heat in six as well.
Love it, baby. Love it. Okay, yeah. We will be back on Thursday going over everything Miami-Louisville. Until then, go Canes.
Go Canes.
This has been the Forza Podcast. Remember to like,